Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Howdy. Welcome back to the Addicted Motors podcast. My name is Troy with Addicted Motors. This is Mike with Sports Car Workshops, and this is our 11th podcast episode. This is the second best car podcast on the internet.
See, Doug doesn't make those mispronunciations.
No, Doug's pretty
that's
slick.
Why, that's why he's the best.
That's why Doug has a career GT. And I've got a 911. Yeah, there's a slight difference here. And you're coming to you kind of live from the back of Sports Car Workshop with some of our sales cars in the background that haven't sold. Right there. Yeah, so if anyone is interested in a Lotus Esprit twin turbo V8, 29,000 miles, two owner, clean, then sell and bring a trailer, check us out.
It's pretty sick.
All right, so last week we talked about cars, and this week we're also going to probably talk about cars, if that's what you're into. The highlight of our topic is going to be Land Rovers and how we got started in Land Rovers, because most of you people that listen to this are Land Rover people, and I feel like we've neglected that audience for a little bit, so we're going to talk about how we got our start in buying, selling, owning, off-roading, and pretty much everything to do with going down the rabbit hole of the JLR and previous Land Rover background. So there's a lot to cover there. Haven't really started this topic in a while, so we'll get to it eventually. But when we start off with events, well, we got a big one. We got Mars next week.
Next week.
Nobody's ready for Mar. Everyone's ready for Mar. Everyone's ready for Mar, but we're not ready for Mar. Mid-Atlantic Rally, biggest Land Rover event in the world. Now with the sponsorship of JLR official corporate. Corporate's involved because they have nothing else to do because
they don't sell cars anymore. They don't make cars.
They lost 40,000 cars. Maybe they're going to come to try to find some of them. Who knows? But they're going to be there. That adds a little level of legitimacy. Not that any of us care. It doesn't really affect us. They might give us some free coffee and a koozie. But it's good that they're recognizing their past in some sense, or else a desperate attempt to reclaim something that they've lost. And we represent that side of things. So that's pretty neat. That's really it. I've been talking about Mar for a while. I probably personally have talked 30 people plus into coming, 15 of those into making expensive Land Rover purchases to attend. And of all the things you can do in this world from a Land Rover and automotive perspective, it's probably the best one. And I'm saying that without having even attended this year yet, but I'm fairly excited to go out there and get stuck in a river.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes this year with the increased attendance.
It's going to be a shit show.
River will probably be down, so Island should be open. That'll be nice.
Like, the whole point of these events is to attend and then complain about everyone and everything, but that is the time. Like, you're going to go out there, it's going to be rainy, you're going to have a bunch of people on street tires stuck on the trails and sliding into trees. You're going to be like, I wish I could just drive. And then you realize that that's the fun part, is just watching other people, maybe less experienced or more experienced, break things, fixing, helping.
Well, and the nice thing about Mars, you're not really quite so trapped.
You're not trapped. Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh, you're just there forever until that truck gets
Yeah.
Unstuck.
And Mario, you can literally probably just like get out of your truck, park it by a tree, and walk back to your campsite. And it might be a far walk, but you can even bum a ride for someone who's going in that direction.
Yeah,
on
you don't
main
quite
road.
Have the elevation of going to the top of a mountain
right.
at Wintergreen.
And you can't cut things down at Wintergreen. This is private property, so if you need to make, don't do this, but if you need to make your own egress, it's possible. So, all right. Shop updates.
Porsche week once again.
Yeah, every week's Porsche week here.
Nah, it's also been a pretty heavy Land Rover week.
Well, obviously.
As has been mentioned. So there's this weird thing about Land Rover people where they procrastinate. I beg them, don't bring me your car 3 days before the event. But what does everybody do?
Well, it's like George deciding he wants mud tires last night after we've been trying to get mud tires.
Oh, I missed
the
that.
Whole time. I'm like, what are you going to do? Put them on after the muddy off-road event? Mm-hmm. And then, like, put them on before the event, use them, be happy with it, and then deal with the consequences of driving mud tires on the main road as your daily driver. Don't wish you had mud tires, get stuck, not use mud tires, and then put them on after the fact and have a shitty ride and be angry about it. So,
well, anyways, back to my shop update.
Yeah, shop update. Sorry.
yeah, so just had a crank no start, towed in.
Zach's truck?
Formerly, the truck formerly of Zach.
So this is a podcast you need to describe. So it's an 04 D2 that leaks more oil than the Valdez.
It's, you know, there's always the joke of Land Rovers leaking oil, but this one's rear main seal is probably halfway in place, and so it's just an aggressive oil leak. And it's just, you know,
like, it drips as much as
you gotta go through a lot of oil to be worth doing a rear main seal in a beat up D2, so
it like drips as much as like your condensation drain if you're running the AC and you're like, oh, that's just AC, like that's the level of oil that it leaks.
So I've been begging him to try to start it and, you know, feel it out for a month or two, and, you know, he waited until the week of to try it, and it, in a surprising turn of events, he got rovered.
Have you tried to crank it?
Cranking the hog.
I mean, no, you did that.
His,
probably.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to dribble the key a little bit, but eventually you can get to crank.
Oh, okay.
But no start. We've got a new D1 convert.
That's a whole other story.
And bought a truck for Mar a week before Mar, so that's a wild thrash.
Well, if
you're
listening to this, you've seen my video most likely on the white D1 that we got in an auction from Colorado. My father-in-law bought a Land Rover. He's been a career Toyota man. He's never owned or purchased a used vehicle before, and he decided that to dip his toes into the world by purchasing this white D1, which isn't a bad start, but he is 6'5", so it's going to be funny to see how he handles the
cut the roof off.
The driving aspect. Yeah, we could turn convertible.
Cut the roof off. Shoot, we've got a D2, just had a new big boy rear metal bumper put on, tidying up some of that, doing some wiring for him, a couple little basic services.
It's like people complain about the ticket for Mar, it's like $200, yet they'll complain about that, but they'll spend $6,000 to get their truck prepped for the event, which is like put it one before the other. Like, you can't complain.
Put it
like,
all into repair and maintenance. Yeah. Don't worry about the event.
I feel like it should be included if your bill is over. Maybe that should be your sponsorship.
Well, that's
next
what
year.
I was talking about for the sales trucks. If you want a ticket to Mar, we will sell a truck with a Mar ticket.
Right. All right. Yeah.
Ready to go this year. Pick it up in the field at Mar. Just did a clutch on clutch hydraulics on a Defender.
That was what's his name? Eric's Defender 90. It's a imported 2.5.
300.
Oh, still 2.5.
We did. Shoot, what else do we have going on for Land Rovers?
I feel like everyone's. Oh, Andy's bumper.
We got.
Put a great divide on a D1.
On a D1. Fired up a winch. he's not going to Mar, but we put another rear bumper on another D2 and did a power steering pump,
which is
pretty heavy Land Rover week, honestly.
And that D2 is one I did a video on, and it was purchased by my neighbor. It was super clean, 100,000 miles, and that dude has literally just done oil changes for 2 years. Like, it's the only Land Rover I've ever been a part of a sale that has like literally needed nothing. Yeah, like, it's pretty impressive, even though you did,
we did
the valve cover gasket.
We did valve cover gasket.
But, like, all right.
Well, and there was just a hose clamp sitting in there.
Oh.
We pulled off the valve cover, and there's just
Oh, in the manifold?
Inside the valve
in the,
cover.
In the
just,
head.
Just
okay.
Chilling.
All right. Hey, that's...
that was pretty amusing. So we did a hose clamp removal.
It's like open heart surgery, yeah.
Somebody left the stent.
That's a big one.
Left the,
I guess they're just bouncing in there. No harm, no foul.
Got rid of it. Yeah, a lot of Porsche stuff. A little bit of BMW stuff. Oh, finished the Stroker 270/30. That thing drives unbelievable. It's got like 215,000 miles on it. Drives like it has 20,000. It's like one of the nicest driving E30s.
Well, I think that was a good car to begin with, and like that, the engine finished it off. It's a shame when you put an engine in a car that's like still needs everything sorted, and then you're like, this isn't worth it. But that's an example where
that's a great car.
Yeah, he's done, right?
Yeah.
At this point, he doesn't need anything else.
No, I was taking AC compressor.
Okay, well it's winter time.
But we're waiting on the compressor to come in.
Wait
so
till
he's just
gonna season.
Take the car, enjoy it, and I guess all E30 compressors just like 10x.
Do
price.
The AC solution one.
We're just getting his rebuilt.
If you spent all that money on an engine, get him some cold
AC. I like
the OEM AC.
Stuff for that.
It's not your money.
None of these bullshit brackets and stupid controllers.
It doesn't have any of that. It's not OEM, but it's like OEM plus stuff. There's no like...
E30 will blow plenty cold with all the OEM functioning.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a lot.
Very, very busy couple weeks.
Sales update. I guess that wasn't sales, but
Sales update.
48 is gone.
Going. 48's going.
So we're not selling that Porsche. We're not selling that F30 because they were sold.
They sold those yesterday. Not the 430. 430 potentially sold.
Oh,
maybe
God.
Still available.
I mean the 360. The
360 sold. The twin turbo 911 sold. We sold
the 2002.
Disco, sold the 2002.
On Bring a Trailer, so that was good.
We're missing a sale.
We didn't buy anything. We
Yeah, I think all of our other sales. Oh yeah, because last Thursday was when I was doing all the paperwork for everything else. So
I bid on probably four cars for people today, and my disclaimer in the L322 market is one: you're going to have to spend more money these days because. Why we do Rover Roulette, why do the auction deal is to try to buy these cars for you before they hit the dealers that will put them on Bring a Trailer, which whatever your value add to that is, I feel like there is. Our markup is so minute that like it's the only way to get a deal because you can either buy it at a slight markup from the auction and have to do all the things to it, or you can buy it from Bring a Trailer or another buy here, pay here, for $5,000 more than they paid for it, and still have to do all the things to it.
Because you know a buyer payer is doing the bare minimum to get that car sold. There's nothing preventative happening. Like, you're not dodging that first round of maintenance by buying a local car from a dealer. maybe private party you can find well-maintained ones, but that's a whole other round of hassle and pain.
Right. So, again, an 09, a two owner, no accident, white on black, 2009 L322, non-supercharged, super nice condition, in California. Everyone's budget for that is like $7,000 or $8,000, but the problem with that is it's $1,500 in shipping, it's $600 in random fees. A dealer in California will bid that up to $6,000 or $7,000 because they can sell it on their lot for $10,000. So you have to beat these guys out because they're probably going to sell it, buy it for $7,000, list it on Bring a Trailer, list it on Cars and Bids for $12,000, $15,000, whatever, where, you could get that car for $8,000 or $9,000, a no rust California car, and then not have to pay that extra premium. So a 5 liter, people want 5 liters now, a 61,000 mile 5 liter sold for $6,800. If you want it, you just have to pay a little bit more than the other guy and you got it. I know it sounds very simple, but like you're not going to steal things on a Wednesday sale either. I'm not an auction expert, but I feel like all these auctions wait to run things on Wednesday. And that's when everyone's looking. You probably have better luck on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday. But people are looking for these trucks anymore. And I look at these trucks at auction because it used to be kind of fun because dealers weren't buying them. But now people are willing to deal with the bullshit
secrets
more.
Out.
Yeah, secrets out. People are buying them. You go to Cars and Bids, you go to Bring a Trailer, there's always an L322 on there. They always want to have an L322 on there just because it they sell. So, you know, it's funny. I just feel like we're offering like the only entryway. Listen, you can go out and buy one on Facebook. Probably get a better deal from a local one-owner truck. But if you want to find something different or from California,
you just have a much bigger pool to draw.
Bigger
from.
Pool, yeah. And again, this is a Rover specific chat, so that's why I'm going into this. Like right now, there is a 2-owner 09 Autobiography supercharged on there. It's black on black, 169,000 miles, but it looks super clean. It's traded into the JLR dealer in San Diego or something. Like that's the exact truck you want.
Did you say 2-owner?
2-owner.
I mean, you know, the first owner on the Autobiography is
that's an owner. That is the most coveted, in my opinion, L322 there is. An 09 last model year 4.2 Autobiography. Who cares about the color? You like that's that has
what's
like
the mileage on that bad boy.
169.
Not terrible.
It's fine. You know, yeah. Whatever. You're going to have to do all the shit to it anyway, so just yeah, get honestly. That one and have an Autobiography.
Nah, that's a buy.
That's cool.
Yeah, you don't see many 09s.
No.
I can't imagine. I'd love to see the production numbers on an 09. There can't be that
I
many.
I think I've seen 3 Autobiography 09s on the auction ever.
Yeah. Even just any 09.
Any 09, yeah. Oh, well, that was an Autobiography with that white one we sold to Wiley. That was an 09 supercharged, not an Autobiography. But, like, get the Autobiography. Like, pay more for it because it'll be worth more forever because it's a freaking Autobiography 09. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was, I mean, and it's subtle enough. They didn't do crazy stuff on the 09. Like, the leather's a little bit different. It might have a leather headliner.
No, I feel like L405 is where the Autobiography stuff really went off the rails.
I don't know. I saw the guy in Virginia Beach had a 5-liter 12 with a red, a black interior and a red headliner, all leather.
I mean, you know, they're out there, but yeah. I just feel like there's like a lot of the L322 Autobiographies are more subtle than L405 Autobiographies.
True.
They're just like, they get insane.
Well, we're already talking about auction stuff, so let's jump into the workbook. Do you get your phone?
I've not been on
the I've workbook. Saved a bunch of stuff. I don't know if I talked about, did we talk about an E34 M5 last time?
I think we did.
Man, the price is $23,500 now.
What was it last week?
It was a 25. '05 911 Carrera S. 143,000 miles. Oh shit, did this sell today? It sold. It sold for $24,000. And that one is, man, that's crazy. So this one is 143,000 miles, 3.8 out of 5 condition score, manual, obviously, silver on black, Carvana. It sold for $24,000. What was the 170,000 mile? That sold for like 36.
I'm just looking at this Boxster S in Fredericksburg.
That was green light. That was a green light car. 997, 143,000 miles, $24,000.
Oh, wait, we're talking about two different cars.
I know. This one.
Yeah.
This sold for $24,000. A manual. Yeah. Damn. That's $10,000 less than the one.
That's a buy. That's a buy. Day.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a Thursday. No one's looking. It's green light. So if this Carrera had, if we got it back here and it had bore scoring, we could arbitrate and send it back to Carvana. And we'd be no harm, no foul for everybody. You might lose like $300 in shipping or some fees or something. But like, you're going to lose $20,000 if you buy it from a buy here, pay here and can't return it. So. Yeah.
Boxster S sold.
Yeah, I didn't even check Carvana today, but there's that 09. Ooh, 2012 Ferrari California, 21,000 miles. It's $60,000. It's got 21,000 miles. I'm assuming it was a rental or something at some point. It's got a lot of, you know, scratches and the driver's window doesn't roll down. Who cares? It's a $60,000 Ferrari, which is fine. I don't know where this career.
Man, 2020 Autobiography down to $36,000.
Yeah, I look at the interior. Click it. It's got a saddle interior. Someone from the chat wanted me to look at that one.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Man, I can't believe how cheap those are.
That's pretty good.
Supercharged 5-liter.
Actually, so my topic for today was going to be, when did cars peak for modern cars? And my thing was, my cutoff is 2014-15. Mostly because I like that last generation of BMW interiors and cars, but I don't think that applies to Range Rovers because I definitely would prefer an 18 to 20 L405. I know you don't. But
well,
like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I think for me, I think it's a little dip. I think cars peaked in like 2010, and then they.
Year that I want to buy.
Well, then they fell off, and then I would still take a modern, you know, back when they really figured out the touchscreens and CarPlay and all that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, you don't want early touchscreens.
So the biggest delineation for that for me is like the because again, I used to drive around big trucks, is the Uconnect.
Hell yeah, brother.
And whatever, what's Ford's? What's Ford's iTouch or something? Ford's Connect. Blue Connect. Yeah. Edge, so
I don't know.
The screen in like the Ford F-250s and 150s, where they got the Uconnect screen, I think that transition was like 13 to 14. So 14, all new dash, fully integrated, Bluetooth, streaming, blah, blah, blah. Great screen. Same thing with Dodge and their Uconnect. They still have the same screen in the modern Dodges, but there was kind of seamless integration with your phone. And the interior in a 2014, 15, 16, you know, Durango or 1500 or 2500 looks modern. You can get in it now and be like, oh, it has all the things that I need. And that's where it peaked, I think. And the bigger the screen's got and the more less buttons you have, you kind of lose that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you went through the giant tablet phase and then you kind of came, we're coming out of it now on getting physical buttons back.
Yeah.
My truck, ton of buttons. The only thing I use my touchscreen for is like
they took our buttons away. Like, they took our job.
I tell you what, that's
another demographic.
That is a boomer stance. I'll die on that hill.
I mean, Volkswagen rolled it back. They said, "So we listened to you. We're bringing buttons."
Yeah,
back.
Everybody's starting to. I love buttons, man. I remember like
as a kid.
I remember, yeah, growing up, you could just hit any of your pre-select on a radio. You don't even move your eyes,
dude.
Easy.
That's another one.
If I gotta go through four screens,
looking
to turn
at
on
the speedometer of a car, like that's what you did. You went around and you'd be like, "Ooh, this thing does one."
Let me tell you,
160. This Integra or this Acura TL or whatever does 160. This thing is fast.
I know this isn't really what we're talking about, but. Heads up display on a windshield.
It's pretty nice.
I hated it, and then I've gotten used to it, and now anytime I get in a car without it, I'm like,
well, you can't.
Where's the speed limit?
Yeah, dude. again, my 14 BMWs, it has heads up display, it has automatic sensing headlights, it has automatic wipers, it has Bluetooth, it doesn't have CarPlay, which is whatever. It has cooled seats, it's got traction control, overdrive, drive, lane keep, like all that stuff, but it doesn't have one dumb screen, and it's all nicely put together. Like, I'm like, that's kind of where I'm
cutting. Honestly, my truck, I mean, the screen's not small, but...
That's different.
I think Ford did a great job.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I specifically remember that that first big screen, like, I think it was 14 in the F-250s when they had the screen there. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I need that, actually.
Yeah.
Because the other ones look poor.
I literally can't think of anything where I need to go to a second menu.
Right.
That's not like... maintenance or something.
Yes.
You know, that's fine. But
while
driving, there's never like a second menu.
I had like Sirius XM, which was, you know, all the channels and you could do it all on the screen. And then I'd be doing phone calls and I was using the truck as an office. So I was the guy in the commercial, sitting in the truck, tablet, doing the thing.
With
your
Carhartt with a skull on it.
Yeah, brother. Safety certified. I wasn't forklift certified, which is kind of a bummer.
You got people for that.
All right, one more auction car. This is a 2016 Sport Green, 124,000 miles. This is like $9,000. It's less than $9,000, I think.
What can you even get for $9,000 nowadays?
Yeah, Carvana Greenlight, 4-owner, no accidents. It's green on tan, 3-liter Sport. No major issues are noted.
Green on tan.
Let me just verify that before I eat my words. Funny. So the airbag light's on. Like, all Sports have the freaking airbag light on.
Oh, yeah, when we looked at.
Yeah, which, you know, it passes, and so you don't need airbags.
It does now pass state inspection.
It does now pass
state inspection. But don't tell me there's not an issue.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That guy was crazy.
I've been looking at Facebook and whatnot to see when it's going to get posted because he didn't get his CarMax price that he wanted.
I'm actually curious. I should follow up on that.
Yeah. Because that was weird.
Yeah.
You ever go to buy a car and you just hope that you don't buy it or that it's something?
There's no better feeling.
There's no better feeling.
When you don't buy an expensive car.
Yeah, when you don't buy a car that you know you might lose money on, but someone said, they told you to come look at it. You're a car guy. You go to look at it. And then you're like, you get that feel of pressure. Like, well, I'm here. I might as well buy. Like, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really. It's really hard to walk away in that situation.
Yeah.
We also didn't bring a check, which was probably good.
Yeah, that was a slip up, but worked out.
Yeah, when I can fix it, like, oh yeah, we'll just do this, do the headline, and all of a sudden you're in it for like $2,000. You lost all your profit margin.
A lot of work to make $500.
Yeah. Nope. Well, that's par for the course. All right. YouTube update. Well, released the video on the D1, the P38. Again, I should probably talk a little more in depth on the P38 because the video I posted was just us like looking at it and wasn't really showcasing the actual condition or the drivability of that car. I should probably pretty that thing up. That's
a great car.
Like I said, it's a one owner, 230,000 mile, but it has to have a new engine.
It's like that E30 though. It's like, this could be a 40,000 mile.
It looks lower than 40,000 miles. Yeah. And it's not a fancy green one. It's not a Borrego. It's just
white.
Everything works.
That's a move.
Everything works. It's so nice. The mileage absolutely doesn't affect anything. It shifts perfectly. I mean,
that's a testament to a well-maintained.
That is a well-maintained. You're literally buying the pedigree. It's a shame I can't figure out. I'm still trying to figure out who the previous owner is. I'd love to talk to him. They're probably dead, honestly. If it was,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Traded into a Honda dealer.
Bought it.
You know, but if you want a truck like that, you know, it doesn't get any better. Honestly,
that is a great truck.
Every time you drive it, people are looking at you like And every time I see it, I'm like, that's pretty. I'm not even a P38 guy, but I see it, I'm like, that's pretty good. Like, I don't see, you know, you can always pick something apart with flaws. Like, it doesn't really have any real flaws, even from like a cosmetic standpoint, which is pretty cool. Not something we encounter a lot, you know. Or usually there's no cosmetic flaws, and like, it's got that issue. You know, you're like, you're the one you don't really want to like get into.
Doesn't
take much to get those issues, but this one seems pretty good now. So,
yeah.
I'm going to list it for
the nicest P38 we've had here.
Yes. I'm going to list it for like 12 grand. So you guys in the comments can roast me, but I don't think you'll find a better one out there. Again, one owner. So that Borrego that sold a bunch of times, Nick from Cars and Bids and Doug's podcast sold it, and then it bounced back and forth, and John Harbison sold a couple of them, and they're back. A couple guys from Instagram. I don't know. Those prices went up high and they went back down because they all have 100 million miles and they have 10, 15 owners and some things don't work. And who wants the yellow Range Rover ride?
Yeah,
that doesn't do it for me.
I don't get it.
I don't know. All right. So that's YouTube stuff. We talked about auctions. This Week in Cars. Man, This Week in Cars, I've been under the gun. I'm going away this weekend. I'm back at work for 2 days and I have to go tomorrow. So I've had to get all the vehicles prepped for Mar, even though I'm only really bringing one. So went totally through the D1 5-speed, the 94. I had Mike and Will wire up my lights, which have never worked. So now I have functional top lights on the rack, so I can do full Camel Trophy Hot Boy pictures. And then I had to fix some of the electrics on the inside. Some of the stuff wasn't working for my, you know, so many things that I put off. Had to fix my antenna. Grease the drive shafts, rotate the tires. I haven't done that in a very long time. Man, I had a bunch of like weird, like annoying things on it that it just took forever, but that was fine. I made the D2 ready for Mar, put a new coolant hose on it. The top hose was leaking. I think something's still leaking. I feel like I'm still losing coolant. I took the running boards off. Someone said I wasn't going to do. I added big driving lights because now it looks sick. Because that's what my wife needs, because that's her car. I did the front brakes, and I did the spacer kit. I relocated to the correct position, not under the shocks, under the spring mounts, so it actually rides nice again, which didn't before. I put shocks in my Mercedes, because it was 8:30, and I had a couple beers, and I was staring at them going, I bet you I can do that. And then I did it, and I scratched my Porsche, because I smacked it with a... Smacked it with the fucking jack. You know what I mean? You're like going, you're pumping, and then like, fuck!
I tell you, jacks should have, you know, they've all got
it. It does. It's on the top. It's on the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. They should have an end cap. I've never done that.
But, and then I'm like, oh, this will be one of the, I'll just always remember how I'd put that scratch on. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And that's it. My truck's still not fixed. What are you doing, cars, this week?
Man, you had a busy week. This is going to make me look pretty bad.
Yeah, that's okay. We're...
Nothing.
Good.
So, yeah, Mar's in 3 days. I'm going to probably just do exactly what I just roasted my customer for and try to start my disco soon, see if it still runs.
Yeah, I'm totally... But, like, you're on the same... Like, we're totally out of time. I couldn't try to make time right now.
Now I have a little bit of time because I had to be out of town for a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So now I have my free weekend coming up this weekend. So.
But it's not a good way because you're...
No, I have no time to order parts.
You're expending... You're in the red with your wife. Like, you mean, like, that's the problem. You're like, you got to use this weekend and you're going next weekend. So you're really just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm being
You're pulling out all the extra...
with an 8-month-old. That's, yes. we'll see how that goes.
I know. My wife didn't realize I was going home Wednesday, so.
Yeah. I haven't really followed up with her ever since I mentioned it months ago.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I'm sure.
You can come out for a day. It'll be fun. Don't come out.
yeah, probably try to get my Defender running this weekend. Fingies crossed. I'm keeping a short list. If I can get Land Rovers running for the Land Rover, man, I'm happy.
Well, look, Lucky 8 just shared the P38 video, but also a very unflattering picture of me. I don't know if you know it yet, but we're in a bidding battle with Lucky 8 over Emmanuel Disco on Bring a Trailer, so.
Good. What?
Yeah. they shared it. They keep sharing these auction trucks, and like I think we started that. It's fine, but I like they don't. There's never any link, so I finally found this one, and they actually bid on it. I'm like, okay, if you're gonna share it, also be bidding on it. And then I was like, well, I'm gonna.
Tell Justin I'll bow out. So I'll stop running up the price if he.
Well, no, they've already
some parts at cost.
We're already in a. They haven't. We're still the hot bidder at $4,600. All right, we're in it for big money. It does have a cool rack though. It's a good looking truck. It's manual.
God damn it.
Yeah,
kind of that bumper makes look like.
You don't not want it. You need a truck for the manual disco rally that we're doing. All right, let's talk about Land Rovers. And I'm trying. Is there a way to get Instagram to like scroll to your first post?
No, you have to like scroll four rows at a time.
Can you minimize? I guess as the
entry for that, I guess I can start the story.
Yeah, I'm gonna just get my pictures and like start.
I had a high school friend's dad swing by the shop one day. Well, a couple steps back. The shop's done Land Rovers for a long time.
That doesn't count.
I personally
nobody wants to hear about that.
Wasn't a Land Rover owner until 7 years ago, something like that.
Had you considered one at all? That's the other thing. I didn't really.
Wanted
one, but like, I just knew they were the worst, and so I was like, so I bought a Land Cruiser.
So I, high school friend's dad swung by. He owns a storage facility. And he's like, hey, I got all these Land Rovers. I want to sell them as a package deal. I don't know. I was weak that day, I guess. I'm like, yeah, sure. We'll come look at them. So I called Troy.
Well, you're skipping. Really has to start with Pratt and the gold one.
Oh, I thought we were doing the entry into us actually owning Land Rovers.
Oh, no.
Your entry into
Land Rovers. Well, no. You should start before me, and then I catch up.
But prior to Pratt's entrance, I was just working.
Okay. All right. No, then you start. But I'm
so
trying to think.
Go ahead.
No. But I guess we didn't have any real. No, but that's also a portion of how we kind of met, because that was like the first one that you really worked on at the new shop, too. Lisa's.
That's not how we met.
I know, but that was like right in this. That was, look, I'm looking it up.
Close timeline, but
that was within like 3 months.
We weirdly met because of a Toyota club.
That's true.
As somebody who does not own a Toyota, and I don't know how that happened, but.
I mean, if I pull up, oh man, oh, I even forgot before that. Holy crap. And then Zach's Rover.
Zach.
Somehow we were also looking at Rovers. LR4. Remember I bought
that before?
No, it was like right after.
Yeah, we'd put like the Hitler stash on it.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Like, we were actively looking for Rovers. I talked him into buying a Rover.
Yeah.
So that timeline is a little bit odd, too.
Well, if you're not going to tell your story, I'll tell my story.
Keep going, and I'll catch it up.
All right, so we go down there. Well, we grab a few people. Troy just posts, who wants to go look at a bunch of Land Rovers? And I don't know. You people are crazy.
And I'll jump
in.
That also started the Rover chat, because that was on Instagram.
Yeah. RVA Rovers.
Yep.
So I don't know. Probably what, 6 or 7 of us go down there. You know, they've been abandoned at this storage facility for a long time. You know, 2 of them are still on air, so they're just sitting in the grass all the way up to the door sills. Can't see anything underneath. No point even trying to start them, blah, blah, blah. Troy, I don't know why I let him do it, but he called dibs on the only one on spring sitting on the pavement. And so, weirdly enough, he's the only one who still has his. But we just used a couple different AAA accounts, towed them all back up to the shop. I was feeling pretty feisty that night, so I just pulled mine straight onto the lift. I think at that point I decided I didn't care anymore, and so I just immediately threw a jump box on it, threw some gas in it, and just fired up.
Well, it's one of those scenarios where, like, usually you don't, like, do it all in one night. Like we did the full YouTube thing. We bought them, brought them all up, and then tried to get them all running in the same night.
Well, and I think when I bought it, my plan was to engine swap it, and so that's why I didn't really care about doing further damage starting
it. You drained the fuel, though.
Yeah, but, like, you know, still, you're pumping a bunch of junk through the injectors.
And, again, these were personal. This was $2,500 worth of classics. $2,500.
It was like $1,900.
Okay, $1,900 for three classics, which is an unheard of, which was too much money at the time.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, Troy.
Like, we're dating. We're dating.
I'm in negotiation. Troy just throws his hand in and shakes. So, so, you know, my truck starts, didn't expect it to start. I'm like, okay, weird. Let me just try putting it in gear. Put it in gear, immediately starts going forward. I'm like, oh, okay, see if it has brakes. Had brakes. No suspension. I was just driving around on bump stops. But, just immediate success. And it's only gotten easier working on Land Rovers personally from there. yours, what did you need, a fuel pump? And yours ran?
Fuel pump, yeah.
Yeah.
And mine just didn't have a drain, easy drain, so.
I think that was the same thing for Doug's. I think, we split the group of three Land Rovers immediately into three of us. I think Doug started with just a fuel pump, too.
Yeah, Doug's
started. Or did we get it running and then
he
bought it
from us? We got it running and then he bought it from us. He was sitting around, because I remember I was out there screwing with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a 94 long wheelbase, yours was a 94 long wheelbase. Yours are 93.
Mine was a Katrina car.
Yeah.
Found that out after
and
the fact.
And mine was actually a Virginia truck that had been to Mar and Pearl's Pond in the early 90s, sold all the stickers and whatnot on it. That was crazy.
And that was probably, 80 Rovers ago?
That was in 2018, too. All right, so let me start before that. So a friend of mine... I guess when I moved to Richmond, I started looking for cars and car things to do, and I just started. Everyone was getting links from me because Facebook Marketplace really wasn't a thing, so it was still Craigslist, still Auto Trader, it was still eBay, and I don't know why I pulled up this 95 gold classic, and I sent it to her, and she wanted it, and she always wanted one, and we went out to go look at it. But I don't remember what got the Land Rover, why that one was the one instead of like a 4Runner or something. So I think it was cute, you know, like that's the problem. These things, I don't know why I was looking for a Land Rover, but we found a Land Rover. So we went out there to look at it and we pulled in this guy's driveway and it's Pratt, Mike Pratt, who we had on the podcast a while ago. And in his driveway, there was three classics. This was a parts car that he bought for parts, but it was too good to be parts. So then he decided to sell it. There's another gold, long wheelbase that he had for parts, and then he had a white classic long wheelbase 94 that was his. So we ended up buying it. It's funny, at the time it was horrible because we weren't used to.
You did show up with zero oil in your diff, and
we didn't know that though. I'm getting to that point. So it was rusty. Like the rear cross member was rusty, and
body mounts
the AC didn't work. But at that time we'd be like, that's a pretty nice truck. But then it was like, oh God, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This thing's total.
That was also when they were worth like $900.
I don't even
driving.
Think we really paid for it. I think we paid $2,500 for it. I don't even remember. So that started it. Then we brought it to the shop. And then we put probably 200 miles on it with neuro fluid in the rear diff. The brakes were all messed up. It was rusty, blah, blah, blah.
That's right. We had to do a bunch of brakes.
Yeah, and that thing drifted around for a while. But that was the first thing where I started playing with it. And I realized, like, oh, this is kind of cool. I met Mike Pratt through that, and again, he then came to the Rover Rescue, so we started posting about Land Rovers, and with Doug filming, because Doug's Cars was the initial visual, guide.
The group influencer.
Yeah, the purveyor of our bullshit. He was following us around and, you know, doing the Rover Rescues. We probably did three or four with him before I started doing it myself, and it kind of started spiraling from there, because the Rover people came out of the woodwork. We expanded the group chat. You know, the Rover Rescue thing gained a little bit of
Yeah,
a little bit of attention.
All the car shit we do, Rovers is like
you can't shake
people
it.
People like when we do Rovers.
Yeah, and then I bought.
They don't like when we go racing.
I bought my friend Zach a built LR4, which he had for like 5 years from a guy in Midlothian, and I like that one. And we all drove it. And it was cool. And I just didn't know much about them at the time. It was just that was still a semi-modern vehicle. It was like a 2013.
Yeah,
and this is 2018.
Like, yeah, that's like a fresh out of warranty.
Paid 20 grand for it. I'm looking at it, man, it had like the good wheels, had the nice rack, it had gap tool, new tires, all that stuff. And I just remember being like, this Rover thing's wild because it drove nice too. And then it just started, started picking up momentum. And I think the next one that me and you fell on was a guy that saw the Rovers that we had parked at the shop and called Paint Guy about a classic that he had. So these things just started coming to us, and we started like unsolicited. We started getting calls, talking to people that had these Rovers, and it's game on at this point. So if you want,
that was the next one, huh?
Yeah. So that was a 1990 white short wheelbase. That truck, really pretty, had a rusty brake line or something. But that was the first one that we bought that came with parts. And it came with boxes. We still have a lot of those. Yeah, the stash begins. Then we realized that all Rovers come with all the parts. If you don't have a bunch of parts of accumulated bullshit in the back, then you bought the wrong one. And then remember the Armenian guy from Canada that we sold it to?
Yeah.
And so that started like a pipeline where we started buying these things and they kept going to Canada. Then I bought a 95 green short wheelbase from eBay. I mean, this is what's dating these conversations. This was on eBay for like $2,000, and I bid $1,100, and I won it. It was a rusty 95. It was green, perfect interior, and I got a truck from eBay with no fees for $1,100, and it was shipped for $300. Like this is where,
man, I can't remember last time I bid on a car on eBay.
This is where the accumulation comes from. And then again, that one, I think that one went to Canada to get restored. and the next one was the red one, a red 89 short wheelbase, which we found. I think we talked about that
driving. Yeah, we put a lot of story, but driving in the gold one, ran outside, chased us down
half a mile from our house. There's just a Rover in someone else's backyard. So this is all within like 6 months. So these six things start coming out of the woodwork.
Oh yeah.
And that one sold to a guy I work with.
Yeah.
And never ran. It never drove. So, we bought it for $600, sold it for $2,500 back when these things started going up in value for restoration. He thought he wanted a project.
Bought some project. That was COVID.
Yeah, so that probably has 17 owners now. The next thing, the Adventure.
Is that the next three Rover one?
You didn't go on this one, but Pratt and Doug and I went to this guy's farm, which had a series and a bunch of Rovers. So like that was the thing. We started people started calling us. We started going around Virginia, pulling these things out of barns, pulling these things out of yards, but also just kind of seeing and realizing that these trucks were abandoned and whatnot all over the place. They were still pretty cheap at the time, and it was still pretty fun to kind of bring them back and make a video and talk about them and at least, start a conversation with a lot of the owners and get these stories and whatnot. The next one, Pratt's two-door, that was Commonwealth Classics truck. There's a 200 TDI he bought off of eBay again from Commonwealth Classics for 11 grand. Find me a two-door 200 TDI for 11 grand these days. That wasn't that bad. The whole Commonwealth Classics thing is a whole other conversation, but they didn't do anything. They just imported it and sold it as is, basically.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but fuck, that's like a $25,000 truck these days.
Even when he didn't have that long at all, and even when he sold it, he had gone way up in value.
Yeah. What were the next ones? I think we did our first Rover event shortly after.
We gotta be getting pretty close to the three in Charlottesville.
We're not there yet.
Man.
We're getting there. I did my first Mar with Mason and or Doug and Pratt, and he took the two door and smashed it up, and Doug's power steering pump blew out. Because I still had my Land Cruiser at the time. I was still doing like Toyota things at this point. But I think the next ones were the Charlottesville trucks. I'll let you start with that one.
That was a pretty amusing one. I don't know how we found out about him.
It's Craigslist.
Was it Craigslist?
Yeah.
He had three of them. One had a known bad transmission.
Well, I'm sorry. The p- picture was the Zebra Classic in a barn.
You can't be a Rover guy and not have owned a Zebra Rover at some point. I mean, it's just classic. Mm-hmm. Probably a Saturday morning or something, we just roll up to Charlottesville, truck and trailer, five dudes in the truck.
Well, thinking we could maybe even drive one back.
Yeah.
We started getting cocky.
We're pretty cocky.
We're like, we can make these things. I'm still a little bit cocky, but I've been.
Yeah, blissful ignorance.
Yeah, muted.
So I'm trying to remember the first one we went to, I think, was the one.
The red one. At his house. Driveway.
Yeah.
That, to this day, is the rustiest Rover.
That one sucked. It had no gears, terrible respray.
Horrible. It looked so good in the pictures.
That was the one that looked the best in the pictures, but, you know. Oh, hey. What's going on? Oh, hey.
Oh,
what's
hey.
What's going on?
We're talking about Rovers.
Yeah. Ready to paint this for me? Not yet.
You don't want that.
Oh, shit. I got to give you the pads then.
Yeah.
Oh, are you leaving or are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to go home.
Oh.
You guys are just hanging out podcasting.
It's over.
We're just casting.
Well,
the red one was bad, but it looked good. You lose your train of thought?
I did.
The zebra one. No, no, we went to the rolled one.
Oh, yeah. So then we went into the field and, yeah, it's, I don't really remember any details about the Rover itself other than it was aggressively rolled.
And no, I remember the details. The guy bought it. He bought them as a set of three from IIA or something. The red one
ran. It was not rolled when he bought it.
It was not rolled when he bought it.
I got that story down.
Yeah.
When we rolled up on it, the hood was up, probably been up for who knows how long. So like, oh God.
That was a parts truck.
Yeah. That's,
but it rolled down a hill twice.
Well, so, you know, he's on a farm outside of Charlottesville. He goes to unload it. I think he's using like tiny ratchet straps.
Yeah, ratchet straps.
Undoes like one or two of them and the rest pop. It rolls straight down a hill, hits a creek, and stops.
Like, whoa, lucky.
He calls a tow truck. Tow truck's like, no, you got to get the fire department out here because it's in the waterway or something. Fire truck comes, says, no, get the tow truck. So another tow truck comes, pulls it back up the hill. I guess nobody puts it in park. So they leave. He comes back. It had rolled again, and this time, or rolled down the hill again. This time, it pulled a 90 and flipped into the creek. And that's when all the real damage.
We have a picture of it. It's not bold. Like, we have a picture of it in the creek.
We got a great picture of it.
I mean, I'm like, ooh, we have to buy this. That's how stupid we were. We have to buy this. It's a good story.
It's a pretty amazing story. I still love telling that story. And then he had another one that had just been sitting, the zebra one, been sitting in the barn forever. And so
it looks epic. You open a barn, there's a Zebra Classic, and you're like, ooh, this is what it's about.
Covered in like 20 years of dust.
Yeah, like, ooh, what if it starts? It didn't start. It never started.
Well, so we only had one trailer. I think we did the rolled one. We did the rolled one. I don't know why.
We did the rolled one and then Triple A did the other one.
We just shoved this 20 years worth of dust out of the barn called Triple A.
You can probably blame us for the Triple A's having to actually verify someone's there because we probably AAA'd seven or eight vehicles
AAA
that we
know. Any members that are not towing their vehicles, you are subsidizing us. We thank you. We get all of our AAA tows out of the way.
Shoo!
should get a sponsor from them. How not to use AAA.
So we kept those for parts. Then we got rid of a couple of them. And the last one, man, Rover people are nuts because the last one was the Zebra one. We sold to a guy. Oh, we didn't have a title. We sold it for a parts car, blah, blah.
No, we sold him two. Sold him two of them.
Oh, I don't even remember.
I remember that.
I think like $2,000 for both of them. It's just two parts trucks. No titles, $2,000, blah, blah. He paid us. He didn't pick him up for like 6 months. And then a tow truck driver comes. He comes to pick him up. I get a call from the guy. And he starts losing his mind saying that like I scammed him out of that he thought there was titles. I don't even know. The guy was nuts.
It was crazy.
And then he told the tow truck guy that he wasn't going to pay the tow truck guy. And then he told the tow truck guy to go scrap him.
Yeah.
And this tow truck guy was like, well, no, you didn't pay me. So he just took the trucks and sold them. So
I told the tow truck guy, you should sell those because they're worth more than scrap.
We got paid. The guy's out the money and the tow truck guy got these Rovers.
Maybe
he's a Rover guy now. We could have, you know,
unconsciously supported a guy. Us. I don't know, but that was wild. That was crazy.
All right, next one was, this was my...
We're going to go through every Rover we've ever owned.
I'm just seeing what are off the bat. The ones are decent stories. I bought a teal green, and this one, it's only relevant because it happened, it popped back up. A teal green 5-speed D1, a 96 or 97, so that's the good flywheel, you know, the second gen one you can't really find anymore. This is back full COVID. Craigslist was going crazy. I was looking at every type of thing every single day to find these deals to put them. So I found this. It listed in parts Craigslist because they didn't want to pay $5 to list it normally.
I forgot that used to be a thing.
Yeah. I paid him $1,000, drove to Virginia Beach on like a Wednesday, and I picked this thing up, and he said there was no clutch. Put clutch fluid in it, pumped it up. Thing was really rough, and it was probably run on six cylinders. I put gas in it, drove it back. It's my first manual disco. So it's a teal green manual disco, 97, like pretty cool kind of truck. And that one bopped around for a while, ended up still having a misfire. I drove around for a little bit.
Never had anything but a screwdriver to start.
Never had anything to screwdriver, never had keys for it. Sold it to on Craig on sold it for yeah, on Facebook for $4,000 to a guy that was gonna restore it, because that was peak. That was like you had insane. A Land Rover you could sell for any amount of it was crazy. Yeah. And then it disappeared, and then it popped up on Facebook Marketplace as a crank no start last week and sold for $800. So looked at the exact same condition. I probably could have bought it back. Just didn't feel like driving up to DC. So that was interesting. It's always funny, like when you see these things pop back up.
Well, I want to catch up with him before you leave. Okay. How far you plan on going?
Next one, I think the next one was Doug's Rover. He bought $600, a 230,000 mile LR3 on bump stops.
That was a buy.
That was a buy. But it was a one-owner truck. I bought it new. Air suspension went out. Gave up on it. Put a bunch. Didn't really do all that much. Put like a compressor in it. Tires. Still drive the thing. It was like 250,000 miles.
He's had that for a long time.
That was a good rescue. Yeah, but again, those trucks, like, they'd come to us. Oh, God. The 850. The one that keeps popping up.
Cool.
The next one was another big one. We bought that white, the first white D1 from the alley in downtown. It was $600. It's this one. I don't know. I did a video on it. I was like,
white D1 in an alley.
Yeah. I bought it.
Oh, it wasn't me. That's
yeah. I mean, it sat here. Remember, it needed a thermostat. It was overheating. I don't know. $600 white D1, right? Got to buy all white D1s. I think we sold that for like $4,000. I think it needed either a water pump or a thermostat. And then that was bought by a guy who like refurbished it, and he still goes to Rove. I think he sold it last year. But again, you get it for $600. Oh, look. Oh, here's the red one.
Oh, yeah.
in unison. Next one was, man, the a Westminster P38 2002. I think that truck was like $4,000. Sold it for $8,000. This is, again, peak Land Rover. First time messing with a P38. That actually was a pretty good truck. That was a good one. And it kept spiraling from there. I'm not going to go through every single truck, but
so many.
Since then, you know, there's probably been about 50 different trucks, a lot of cool ones.
I'd love to know how many Land Rovers we've sold.
There's some I wish that we probably kept. That big lifted one, the blue classic.
Yeah,
I now know the value of all the bumpers and stuff, bunch of Rover Time stuff. A couple nicer D1s.
Yeah, there was a phase there, especially like during COVID, where they just absolutely like magnets to us.
Yeah,
we wouldn't even be trying to find.
Ooh, I forgot the 95
across the street
95 25th anniversary edition long wheelbase. $800. Sold that for like $5,000.
Yeah,
that one's probably still kicking around. They all were good stories. I got videos on most of them. It was a good time. They're kind of harder to acquire.
Trying to keep track of Rover rescue counts.
Yeah, I mean, but those were all local finds. Didn't require like an out of state travel. And now we have to use the auction to kind of scratch that itch, and it becomes a little bit more.
We brought too many people into the fold.
Yeah, and now again, we've probably brought 40. I don't know, 30, 40. Every single one of them in the friend group has a Rover, or has owned multiple Rovers. And now has an properly equipped truck at some point.
Yeah, slowly getting everybody to not just own a Rover, but a functional Rover.
And I don't know what's better, having a functional Rover and going to the events and whatnot, or having a non-functional Rover, but it does help to be able to participate. Yeah.
One of each. Why stop at one?
So I think that's probably the Rover story. Like I said, it's all documented on YouTube. You know, we've been doing
it
for a while.
Part 2 next week.
from a business standpoint, it has become very interesting because people do come to me and us for. I mean, now the shop has not pivoted, but have absorbed. It seems like the majority of the modern classic and classic Land Rover, you know, maintenance and restoration work. So it's been a pretty fun shift these days.
We're almost done. We'll walk in there a second.
And again, for the videos do help sell a truck or two for different people and whatnot. So it's definitely taken a ship. It's been a fun ride. We appreciate you guys following, reaching out to myself in the shop for rover work and sales advice and buying advice. There's been a lot of that. Still team, don't buy a 5 liter, but you know, you guys can't stay away, so I'll try. I'll try to make the best of it. Yeah,
from just make sure it's supercharged.
From a financial standpoint, you do like a 5 liter.
No, I like them as a driver.
You don't own one.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. Yeah, not legally.
Oh yeah, I didn't put it in my name, but it's my wife's daily.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Actually, yeah, you do own a 5 liter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I own 2 5 liters.
Yeah.
Forgot about the other one.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Yeah. Well, I think that's going to do it for this one. Please like and subscribe. Do other fun YouTube stuff. We'll check you in the next podcast. If you have any topics you want us to dive into, we forgot the other topic. We'll get into that on the next one.
Yeah, I think somebody actually suggested
Someone actually suggested something.
We'll get to it next week.
So, see ya.
Bye. Love you.